to worship him in honor of his resurrected son. A couple of weeks ago, I started a series on I Would Not Have You to Be Ignorant. And I took up 1 Corinthians 10, where Paul didn't want the brethren ignorant in regard to the crossing of the Red Sea by the Israelites. In 1 Corinthians 12, he used that same expression again, but it had to do with spiritual gifts. And we discussed that last week. In the same chapter here in 1 Corinthians 12, he didn't want them ignorant in regard to the body of Christ. I want to speak for a little while today upon the body of Jesus. I understand when I read here in 1 Corinthians 12 about the body of Christ, it's referring to the church as the spiritual body of Christ. I understand that it is not his literal physical body which he had while on earth, but it is his spiritual body. So I decided that I wanted to talk for a little while on the pre-incarnated Jesus, on what kind of body he had at the various places he has been. And that's what we're going to study today. We're going to be studying about what kind of body did Jesus actually have. And I want to begin by turning to Philippians, the second chapter. And I want to read a few verses from this second chapter because it introduces us to Jesus as he was as far back as we can go. Then I'm going to lead him down to his birth, his life on earth, to his death, burial, and resurrection, then to his ascension, and study the various bodies which he had, because this is important. It is important because, as the Bible says, we know when he comes we'll be like him. And we want to study what kind he had. Here in Philippians, the second chapter, beginning with verse 5, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus, Paul said. And that's very good advice. He said, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. The word form is from the Greek word morphe, which really means shape. Therefore, I insist that when Jesus was in heaven before he ever came to earth, he had the morphe, he had the form or the shape of God. Now, we do not know the shape of God. Therefore, we're sort of left in the dark about exactly the, shall we say, the appearance or the body of Jesus when he was in heaven before he came to earth. But I do know it was in the form of God because that's what the text tells us here in Philippians, the second chapter. But there's another thing that I know. I know that flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of heaven, so I know it wasn't a fleshly body. I know that. Therefore, the only other kind of body that it could be would be a spiritual body. Therefore, Jesus, in his pre-carnated state, had a spiritual body. So he was up there with God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There was God and Christ and the Holy Spirit. We call it the Trinity. And we know that Christ was with God because when he made man, he said, let us make man. Use the pronoun us, which included more than God. It no doubt included Christ and the Holy Spirit. And therefore, Jesus had this spiritual body in heaven with God. It was the morphe of God, in the form of God. You see, God created man, and man became very sinful. And God looked down from heaven upon all of us on this little old spectacle called the earth, which he made, and he put us here. We're all here by God's grace and love. And God looked down on man and found out that man was very sinful. As a matter of fact, over in Romans 3, he said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. If there's anything taught in the Bible, ladies and gentlemen, it's the universality of sin. That all responsible people are sinners. They violated, and sin means stepping across the law of God. Transgression of the law, as John called it. And when God looked down from heaven on his people, and that included me and you and everybody else on earth, he made a statement that he loved us. Matter of fact, John mentioned that in John 3:16, which is called the golden text of the Bible. God so loved the world, that means the people of the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God looked down here upon me and upon you, and he said within himself, I sure do love those people. And he does. He had to give what he gave for us. And I want you to look at it. I want you to take this personal. I don't want you to take it in a general sense. I'd like for you to take this personally, that God loved you as a person. Because that's the way it is. He loved every one of us as an individual. And he said, I love them so much that I want them to be saved eternally. This thing they are doing in violating my law called sin makes them deserve eternal damnation or an eternal hell. But I don't want them to go there. I love them too much. And so what I'm going to do is to send my only begotten Son, who is up here with me in heaven in this spiritual body. And I'm going to send him down there to earth to live among those people and to die. But he's got to die on a cross. It's got to be a horrendous atrocity of crucifixion. And I'm going to have him buried, and then he'll be raised from the dead, and then he'll plant a rose of immortality upon the sands of time through the gospel through which they can be saved and finally make it to heaven where I am. And therefore, I'll save them. That's what God planned. It was foreordained. God foreordained this. So in the due process of time, that's what happened. So Jesus came down from heaven, and he took upon himself a different kind of body, a physical body, just like yours and just like mine. Let me read it here in the text. And being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant or a bondslave, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name above every name that is named, that at his name of Jesus, or at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things of earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God, to the Father. Now that's talking about in the future. When he talks about the time is coming when every tongue will confess, that means that infidels, agnostics, and skeptics here in America and everywhere else in the world who say, oh, I don't believe in God and I don't believe in Jesus, one of these days they will confess that. Actually, they'll be forced to confess it by the circumstances under consideration. And even though they didn't bow down to him while they were on earth, every knee shall bow to Jesus as Lord. Kyrios, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That day's coming. It hasn't come yet. But it is coming when infidels will have to confess that he is the Lord. But I want you to notice back here in the verse what it says, that he humbled himself and made himself of no reputation. That's from the Greek word kenos, which means to empty oneself. Been a lot of theories taught about that word, a lot of play on it, and a lot of false doctrine. So here we have Jesus with this body in heaven, and he came down here to earth. He was born of the Virgin. And he had a physical body, but when it said he emptied himself, he made of himself of no reputation. What did he empty himself of? Well, one thing, he emptied himself of the glories of heaven, because there's a lot of difference in being in heaven and being on earth. But did he empty himself of his deity? Not at all. Where the problem comes in, and we had a man by the name of Bishop Gore years ago who came up with the Kenos theory. And it was that Jesus lost his deity when he came to earth. He wasn't the Son of God. He was just a plain human being, just a, as one man said, a common guy, just like you and me. Wrong. It's true he had a body exactly like ours. There's no doubt about that. It is true that he was 100% human, but he also was 100% deity. Now that's where the claw comes in. You don't want to get the idea when it says that he emptied himself or made of himself of no reputation, that when he came down from heaven, he gave up his deity, because that is not so. He had his deity while he was here on earth. He was the Son of God. He was both human and divine. I would not deny for a moment that Jesus was 100% human, and that when he came to heaven, he gave up that spiritual body and he took upon himself a physical body. I don't deny that it was exactly like yours. He had to eat, he had to drink, he had to sleep. His body had the process of elimination, just as yours does. He had all of the trials and tribulations. He had everything that you have. I wouldn't deny that. I think the Bible abundantly teaches that. I wouldn't deny it for a moment. But I'm also not going to deny that he had deity, because he had that. He was the Son of God. And it's a fatal mistake for anyone to say when he emptied himself that he emptied himself of his deity. That's not true. He emptied himself of a great deal, of his place in heaven, of its joys, of being with God when he came to this earth. This caused some trouble in the church about 20 years ago. I'm a little behind on time. It caused a great deal of trouble in the Church of Christ, because some preachers got the idea that Jesus was 100% human, but he didn't have any deity. One preacher had a glass of water, and he set it on a pulpit. And when he emptied that glass of water before the audience, playing to the audience, as I call it. Now he says, folks, that's what happened to Jesus, said when he came to earth, he emptied himself of his deity. Wrong. He emptied himself of a great deal, but not deity. He was still the Son of God. And you better believe it. There are too many scriptures that uphold it. As a matter of fact, he said he was while he was here on earth. So I want to talk a little bit about that kenos theory. Based on that word reputation, the emptying of himself. Okay, now back to his body. Our subject is the body of Jesus. He was with God and had a spiritual body, but he came down and was born of the Virgin Mary. She conceived of the Holy Ghost. Joseph would have put her away, but he was told not to. She delivered Christ. He had no earthly father. That's why he said, I'm from above. You're from the earth, but he said, I'm from above. And I believe, along with other things, it meant the virgin birth. He didn't have a daddy. That is, an earthly daddy. He didn't have one. And when Jesus, as a little baby, was born, he was just born just like you. Little innocent baby, flesh and blood and bones. He grew to his 12 years old, still a boy, lost by his parents. When he was 12, they finally found him, or they went back to Jerusalem where he was. They'd left him, and they found him back there discussing the law with the doctors of the law. Still a fleshly body. Still had to eat and drink and get hungry. And he sent his apostles into town to get something to eat when he got hungry at Jacob's well. Body just like yours. We're discussing the body of Jesus. We're going to wind up with the spiritual body of Jesus, the church. And this should be very provocative to anyone who's interested in Jesus. So he came down here, and when he got grown, at the age of around 30, he went down to the rolling waters of Jordan and was baptized by John Baptist. And he said he was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. And when he was baptized, he started out on his ministry, and he selected 12 humble fishermen, some tax collectors, into whom he imbibed his principles and called them apostles, which means one sent. They were humble men. He didn't select apostles from among the priests and the Levites, but among fishermen, sort of mostly uneducated men, really, except the Apostle Paul, who was a little bit different. But the rest of them were tax collectors and fishermen. And they were called as apostles. And they followed Jesus, and he taught them and told them they'd be endued with power from on high. He told them that he's going to die many times. They didn't understand it, but he said, I'm going to die. And they didn't understand that. And finally, with this physical body he had, like yours, he was tried by the courts before Caiaphas, before Pilate, finally. Pilate knew he was innocent, but he succumbed unto politics and finally let the Jews crucify him because they said, away with him. They scourged him before they crucified him, but what body did he have? He had a body just like yours. It could have pain in it. And when they took the whip and whiplashed his back and cut it probably with that whip to the bone, and he was bleeding profusely, they led him to the cross of Calvary, and I guess he had lost so much blood, he fell under the weight of his cross. He was still in a human body. Simon of Cyrene was selected to help him bear his cross. Evidently, Jesus was so weak he couldn't carry it. Normally, the Roman soldiers demanded that the victim carry his own cross. Some of them made it and some of them didn't. That was just a part of the humiliation. You carry your own cross. We're going to take you out there and crucify you. Somebody else is not going to carry it. You carry it out to the Golgotha's hill. They got out to Golgotha's hill and they laid him out and on that cross and put nails through his hands and through his feet. What kind of a body did he have? One just like yours. A physical body. We're discussing the body of Jesus. They nailed him to the cross. He stayed there for a good while and he finally died. Bowed his head and said, it is finished. He also said, forgive them for they know not what they do. And Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He made 6 or 7 statements from the cross. The Roman soldiers came by to break the legs of the 3 people crucified, and they came to Jesus and he was dead already. What kind of a body? A dead body, just like yours. And instead of breaking his legs, as it was fulfilled in the scriptures, no bones in his body should be broken, he took a spear and pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. What kind of a body? Just like yours. Just like yours. That's right. They took him down from the cross. Joseph of Arimathea wrapped him up in a sheet and put spices next to his body. What kind? Just like yours. He put him in the barred tomb of Joseph. And there Jesus was placed as a physical body for 3 days, 3 nights. On the 3rd day, he was raised. In what kind of body? A physical body. One just like yours and just like mine. He made appearances to his apostles, to the women, and to the 12 apostles without Thomas, and to the 12 apostles with Thomas, to over 500 brethren at once. And he made an appearance later to Paul, and I want to talk about that in just a minute, when he made his appearance to Paul. I want to ask you a question when we get to that. Paul said, have I not seen the Lord? What kind of body did he have while he was making these appearances? He had a physical body just like yours, because in Luke, the 24th chapter, he met with his apostles and he showed them his hands and his feet where the nails had gone through. And they said, But Lord, we thought we saw a spirit when we saw you. He said, a spirit doesn't have flesh and bones such as I have. So what kind of body did he have? Just like yours and just like mine. After he was raised from the dead, and he showed them his hands and his feet so they could actually see the evidence. He showed it to Thomas, who doubted he was raised from the dead. They then fed him some broiled fish and a honeycomb. Spirits don't have to eat honeycomb or fish. When you get to heaven with your spiritual body, you're not going to be eating any honey and fish. You're going to have a spiritual body. 1 Corinthians 15. We'll be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. This mortal body will put on immortality. This corruptible body will put on incorruption. And so he analyzes the difference in your body now and the body you'll have and the body Jesus had and the body he has now. Jesus appeared in that physical body with his apostle for some like 50 days, maybe 52. He told them to wait in the city of Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. He told them he would give them the Holy Spirit, which would guide them into all truth, John 16. He met with them in this physical body on the descent of the Mount of Olives, in Acts the first chapter. They said, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? He said, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons which have been placed in my Father's hands. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And after he had had that brief talk to them on the descent of Mount of Olives with his physical body, he catapulted into heaven and they saw him go through the clouds. Somewhere there was a transformation which took place because flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God. Mortality cannot enter mortality. Therefore, somewhere on the way, Jesus was changed back into that spiritual body which he had from the beginning, where he's at the right hand of God. He's not in heaven with a fleshly body. Are you listening to me? We are studying the body of Jesus. He started with a spiritual body with God in the beginning. He came to this low ground of sin and sorrow and took on a body just like yours. He lived with that body for 33 years and died the ignominious death of the cross. When he was raised from the dead, he still had that body. When he made his appearance unto his apostles, he still had that body. But when he ascended to glory, since 1 Corinthians 15 says that flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, therefore, somewhere along the way, he was changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The mortal put on immortality. The corruptible put on incorruption. And Jesus now has a spiritual body in heaven, just like you'll have. One of these days, you'll slough off this mortal coil and you will have one. I told you I want to get back to Paul, and there's something that, leaves me a little hazy. I know what kind of body he had when he appeared to all the others, but you know, he appeared to Paul later on the Damascus Road. Question, what kind of body did he have then? Well, I still believe through a miracle he was transformed back into that physical body for the moment so Paul could be a witness, because an apostle had to see Jesus. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, have I not seen the Lord? That was a qualification of an apostle. They had to see the Lord. Now, I know that might be a debatable question. Maybe he saw some kind of a spiritual body of the Lord. But I believe he saw the same kind the other apostle saw. Someone said, well, that would have been a miracle. Well, the Bible's filled with miracles. But he did appear to Paul on the Damascus Road. He said, who art thou, Lord? He said, Jesus said, for this cause have I appeared unto thee. You've done what, Lord? He said, I appeared to him. To whom? To Paul. Question. What kind of body did he have when he appeared? Well, I believe, although the Bible doesn't say this specifically, and you might want to differ, and that'd be all right, but I believe it's the same body that he had that the other apostle saw. But someone said that would be a miracle. Well, certainly so. His ascension was a miracle when he was changed back into that spiritual body, which he has in heaven. But now I want to summarize. I've never preached on this in my life, but when I read a text, things hit me up here in my mind. I've never heard any other preacher preach on it. I didn't get it out of an outline book. I want to talk to you about the body of Jesus from his incarnated state on through his 33 years on earth and then his ascension to glory. And I wanted you to understand it. That's where Jesus is today. He's at the right hand of God reigning over his kingdom. Now, I don't have time today, but I want to come back to 1 Corinthians 12 where he says the church is the body of Christ. But that's the spiritual body of Christ. It is made up of people. You know, I spent 7 sermons on the church recently. I did 7 sermons. But I don't have time today to get to that. But I want to study and show you that we're baptized into that body which is the church, as Paul said. If you're here today and you're subject to the invitation, I hope you'll want to be a member of that blood-bought, spirit-filled institution known as the church. And you can be inducted into it, ladies and gentlemen, through obedience to the gospel of faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. You're inducted into it. So if you're here and you're subject, you wouldn't have a better time to obey the gospel than today to be a part of that great institution that Jesus gave his blood for. We hope if you're here and you're subject, you'll come. Shall we stand and sing our invitation song? When the